Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts.
And on Age of Radio.
I was actually looking forward to, like, Vin Diesel, like, hugging a cow.
It just, when the singing started, I was like, this is too much.
I'm glad for you finally support me for once.
There is a ton to absorb.
You haven't seen it? Dude, you need to see it.
Hello, and welcome to Movie
Smash!
Hello and welcome to Movie Smash, a show where we dive headfirst into comic book movies outside the MCU. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Each episode, we're going to smash through a movie whose source material is from a graphic novel or a comic. Is it worth revisiting? Should it be forgotten? Let's find out. This is Movie Smash. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Roberts. I'm the founder of Off Panel Creations. With me today, I have Fergal Amayo.
This is Fergal Amayo, co-founder and owner of Gotham Knight Comics, where I gotta say, we do reimagine nerddom for you, our fellow nerd. But here's the thing, I will tell you, I'm excited, and just as my good friend in our movies discussion will say, I will find you.
And our guest tonight is Kevin Davis.
My name is Kevin Davis, and I am a full-blown nerd, and I am not ashamed about it. And I'm also a comic creator and author.
Our movie for tonight's discussion is 2020's Bloodshot, and this is starring Vin Diesel, Eric Heisserer, and Kevin Van Hook. I get that wrong. And directed by Dave Wilson. This is his first movie for directing, so we'll see how it goes.
We are leading the way in the greatest human advancement of all time. The technology running through his veins augments his strength, his reflexes, even his healing capabilities. He's unlike anything we've seen before. Entirely in our control.
Commencing memory fabrication. Next mission in 3, 2, 1.
And initiate sequence.
But before we jump into the movie, guys, just by the timing of this, we're recording here on a Thursday evening. The new Superman trailer dropped this morning. Have you guys seen it, and what are your thoughts about it?
I'm absorbing. So, Gunn, I watched Creature Commandos. Let me reference by saying that's a really interesting show with some uninteresting moments, but very interesting show. So he's coming out with this movie, supposed to be a tentpole of the DC universe. I think he attempted to catch that original 1978 feel from it, which was interesting. Nathan Fillion's going to be an interesting character. I mean, Guy Gardner's going to be interesting, but I'm still absorbing what I saw. Like, we've got very much almost like we're pulling in the original Superman from, you know, Christopher Reeves. Is he channeling too much Christopher? I don't know yet, but I think this could be, you know, I've heard a lot of reviews online that said they would watch this over Man of Steel with their kids, but they still love Man of Steel better.
Yeah, I actually watched it twice because, one, I do like Man of Steel. Same thing with Creature Commandos. I watched the show, but it kind of has, like, sometimes has, like, too much of a moment, if that makes sense. When I heard about James Gunn taking over DC, I was like, okay, is he going to make it like Marvel and make it, like, really comical? Pointless jokes, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But after watching this teaser trailer, I'm like, I'm interested, but I want to see more to understand what route he's going with it, if that makes sense. When I saw the set photos, I was like, that suit looks so baggy and so weird. Well, I'm like, it's set photos, so you won't really know until you see the edited part. But I've seen the trailer, I was like, I like they're showing the hope of Superman, and I'm actually shocked that it seems a little darker, but more light into it. More light than Man of Steel. So I'm like, he's kind of giving that Zack Snyder feel, but making it lighter, if that kind of makes sense a bit. So I'm like, I'm definitely interested seeing where this DC goes, because DC has been sucking for a long time.
Yes. My favorite properties are sucking. That's no good for anybody.
I think you're right. It feels a lot lighter than the original, the last DCU we had. And I think Gunn is not really trying to go Christopher Reeves necessarily, though that song in the trailer was fantastic. The guitar riff going with the original music was great. But I think he's actually going even further back, and he's trying to go to capture really the Silver Age of comics, because I don't know how I feel about it yet, but no, what Crypto's in it. And I was like, yes. It's that really pulls it away from being grounded and becoming more comic booky. If anyone can pull it off, Gunn can probably pull it off. But that's my only worry with it, is it feels a little too like. I do like my dark, gritty DC. Superman has some really sort of cartoony characters in it. And that's the other thing I'm worried about. There were so many villains they showed in this trailer. No, it was a minute-long trailer, and there were like 6 or 7
characters. No, 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Minutes and 21 seconds. It was a full-blown showdown. For all of the points you just said, it makes perfect sense, Chris. Yeah. And honestly, we usually don't agree about these things, but I'm fully supportive of that statement that you've just made. And I'm also fully supportive of you, Kevin.
I'm glad for you finally support me for once.
Well, I just want to be known as a guy.
Like, not gonna lie, when I saw Nathan as the Green Lantern, I forgot his character name. I was like, when did Justin Bieber get in this movie? Because I looked at his hair, I was like, when did Justin Bieber get in this movie? I'm sorry.
The look on his face and the hair. So there's a meme going around right now where they have him. You guys ever see the movie Kingpin? The bowling movie? Great movie, by the way. Just one of those, like, just off-the-wall funny movies. But he looks like that with the look when he's doing the ring. He sort of looks like he's carrying off. And that was a completely comic accurate Guy Gardner, which, and again, Mr. Terrific, completely comic accurate Guy Gardner. If you go at any original, when the Lantern Corps expands out, but from what I hear, Lanterns is a completely different take. It's John Stewart. It's completely different. So he's actually bringing the whole Corps in. I don't know what he's going to do with it yet, but so he's connecting a universe somehow. I just, because you notice, even in the Creature Commandos, I know we got to get to our movie, he connected the DCEU. He didn't leave out Zack Snyder's universe. He connected them right directly to from Task Force X all the way into where we're at today.
Only certain parts of it, though. He's picked and choose what is carried over. I think that this movie, if I had to put money on it, I think it's really going to be a character story versus an action movie. I think there's going to be a lot of flashbacks. This way you can have that many villains if you're having lots of flashbacks and sort of telling the story of Superman versus... Here's his first adventure. I don't think this is going to be an origin story of any sort. I think they're also getting much, much more comic book accurate, very different than our movie today. They're actually leaning into the cheesiness of comic books. You know, terrific. He had the T on his head. I mean, I don't know how you pulled it off, but it actually looked good.
That was so awesome. Heck yeah.
Yes, that especially from the guy who played, what is his name from the original, the X-Men movie with the Hellfire Club? That's that same actor who played the black guy in that movie. So he's the Mr. Terrific in this character. That's who plays Mr. Terrific.
Oh, you're talking about from X-Men First Class?
X-Men First Class. That gentleman is who plays Mr. Terrific. So just pulling that together, and you're right, the T-spheres, the look across the face, there's a lot to absorb. Metamorpho, there is a ton to absorb in this.
They got the engineer.
There's a kaiju. I mean, there's a lot in those two minutes.
Yeah, there's definitely a kaiju in that movie. I don't where did that come from?
The engineer's in there too?
The engineer. Remind me who that is again?
Are you telling me you stumped our comic historian on a character from DC? Fergal, your credentials are revoked.
I promise you I'll regain them in this. I can promise you, because I've actually read Bloodshot, so I'll regain them in this.
Why don't we switch gears and get into Bloodshot? Because we've already gone a little bit long on this, and people are here to listen to us talk about Bloodshot, not the new trailer. Well, maybe they're here to talk about the new trailer. Our movie tonight is Bloodshot. Kevin, you picked this. Why?
One, it was one of the first movies I didn't really like, and I wanted to like talk to other people about it, see like their point of views on it. Especially, I watched the movie before I saw the comic, so I was like, okay, what the hell did they do with this movie? Because this is not what the comic is. So that's really why I basically chose this movie. One, because it's easier to talk about. You can literally fast forward through the movie and know the plot.
Yes, yes. You can just get to certain spots and be good.
So you wanted to share your trauma of this. That's really what you're saying. You said, I had such a bad experience. Other people must feel this pain.
Because I was one of the few people that saw it in theaters back in 2020.
No, you're not one of the few. If it's a comic movie, I'm usually in the middle row in the front seat of Imagine Theater watching this movie.
And I was surprised Van Dieter didn't say family like 1,000 times in the movie.
Yeah, he didn't say family too often. So let's jump in. I think, Kevin, you said it, you were not familiar with the comic before you saw this movie the first time.
Yeah.
Virgil, were you familiar with the comic before you saw this movie the first time?
I actually read Bloodshot growing up. It's, you know, Valiant Comics had some really cool, I mean, it's formed by Bob Lawton and Jim Shooter. Obviously, Jim Shooter was one of the, at one point, one of the CEOs of Marvel, one of the editors in Marvel. So kind of a really big name in the world. And so Bloodshot, you know, as you can see, they're incorporating some of these Valiant heroes in as well. So Bloodshot, the iterations of Bloodshot. So yeah, I was familiar with the material. And as soon as the movie came out, I was like, this is not Bloodshot, but it's going to be fun to watch. And it was for some of the tech. Like, they got the tech extremely well, but the acting with the powerhouses they had in this movie was definitely like, what is going on? But Vin was able to show off Vin. I will find you.
I had never seen this movie. Oh, sorry. First off, this comic, I had never even heard of this comic until you, Kevin, you picked this movie, and I had to go do the research on this, which is why I kept calling Bloodspot, and I could not find the Bloodspot movie, the Bloodspot, sorry, comic for the longest time. I had to go look it up, and then find, I ended up buying the definitive collection of Bloodshot to read before watching this movie. And this is going to be one of those wanted situations where the comic and the movie are just pretty much in name only and one or two concepts, and that's about it. But that was, so I read, for the first time I read this comic was last week in getting ready for this recording.
Wow.
But for the first time viewing it, did the two of you, both saw this in theaters?
Yes. It was any movie about comics, I think the only one that I actually walked out of was the Marvels. That's the only movie I literally got up halfway through. I got up halfway through the Marvels. I was like, nope, can't do it. I'm out. It just, when the singing started, I was like, this is too much. But this movie was cheesy, but also for the amount of money they spent on the CGI on this movie, it was really fun to watch. Like, it was cheesy as shit, not great in the acting, but the tech was phenomenal.
Well, we'll get to the special effects in a bit on this movie. I did not walk out of the Marvels. I stayed for that whole movie.
God bless you.
This thing I should have walked out on. I really should have. But I want to save that review for a little bit. So, but my first viewing of this was like 6 days ago. Fergal, why don't you give us a brief history of the comic itself?
This is a Valiant story. This came out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, just 1992, year before I graduated high school. Actually, the year I graduated high school. I'm sorry, I'm old. You know, again, story is about, it's about a soldier that's resurrected, dead and resurrected with nanites. At first, there was a completely different character, Angelo Manatelli. Then it was Raymond Garrison, who is actually who we see in this movie. There have been a couple iterations. The first one was called Rao Zero, and it was really just a special ops soldier. They move on. Then they move him. They move him to a hitman. This is the next iteration. Then he's back out as Ray Garrison. Then there's a cool backstory. Project Rising Birth is what it's been around since 45. His other nickname is actually called Everman. Everyman. So that's what he's at. Because they designate these super soldiers as one of. They've been doing this since like Captain America days. So it's a pretty sweet book. Has a lot of play. It's actually got a lot. It's got video games. It's got tie-ins with Hard Corps. And Valiant, as you guys know as well, has done some work with Leah Field, McFarlane. It's produced some really good stars that have gone on in huge in the industry.
So quick spoiler warning. If this is your first time joining us, just a heads up. We'll be discussing the plot of this movie, Bloodshot. And we're going to discuss certain elements of the story that you might consider spoilers, so consider yourself warned. But to be very frank with you, if you go watch the trailer, you've seen the movie. So save yourself the 2 hours.
You are going to pound this one to the ground, Chris. I feel like this is going to be a good pointer count situation. Let's do this, my man.
So, Kevin, why don't you walk us through the plot of this movie? It should take about 3 words.
Vin Diesel playing himself, getting resurrected by scientists, by nanonite technology.
That's pretty much this movie. Yeah. Why don't we talk a little about the character? We keep mentioning Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel is the titular Bloodshot. He is a resurrected soldier who's resurrected using nanotechnology. How do you feel about the character of Bloodshot / Vin Diesel playing himself?
So I'm going to say they got like two things right. So in the comics, they do talk about how when the nanites heat up, they do leave the red mark. And they actually, so they did give us, I think, about a 10-second comic accurate scene. You know, when the nanites are heating up and his eyes do go red, that gives you a real nice sense that there's Bloodshot. But from the other points, I just think, it's a movie about Vin Diesel. It's a movie about him getting, you know, you could literally predict the plot within about 9 minutes. Like, okay, as soon as they do the first mission, you're like, that shit is fake. He's being implanted memories. Let's go. And then he just takes on, then they throw two typical bad guys in there who don't even appear in the comics, really, and give them huge stories. But I do like the guy with the ocular thing. Because if I figure if I'm going to be blind, that would be dope as shit. To have no, you know, eyes everywhere, that'd be dope as shit.
Yeah, what was that character's name? The guy with all the eyes. Was that Axe?
I don't remember his name. I got to look it up now. You guys are making me do some work. I'm going to check it. It is Axe.
It was Axe. Yeah, I thought so. In the comic, I'm reading the comic, and I don't remember them saying that Spot came from the heat. I thought that was completely made up whole cloth for the movie.
No. His nanites heat up. They turn him. As he uses more of his power, it creates the red spot in his chest. And it actually appeared in the first edition. If you read Rao, I believe you can see that red spot. And as he's getting more engaged, that spot lights up and his eyes get darker and it's just his skin gets white. They permanented it. So again, remember, Valiant's gone through a lot of iterations. So, you know, it was IDT. It's gone through a few different things. So they've changed the character whole cloth, even in the comic books. They've made completely different takes on the character as they've gone through the comic book. So, you get a lot of different series on this. So that's about one of the few comic accurate things, but it's only 10 seconds.
One of the things that I found that was very different between Bloodshot in the comics and Bloodshot in the movie is that they said that he gains the nanobots are repowered in the facility. They recharge them every time he comes in. In the books, it's fueled by protein. So protein. That's one thing I did find it very enjoyable in the book. There were a couple shots where he had to go off and like hug a cow somewhere. Just to devour the cow. And I was actually looking forward to like Vin Diesel like hugging a cow.
That might not have translated well on film.
Turn into a pile of goo of just him hugging this cow. That would have been fantastic to see, but they decided not to go the body horror direction.
Did you say body horror?
Why are you using the word horror in our shows? What is the problem with coming back with horror?
I'm not. It's my intolerable accent.
I think that would have looked horrible on film. That would have been so much CGI. That would have looked messy on film.
Yeah, you could go full practical effects too. Like you could hug that thing and then just have it explode.
That would have been perfect.
That would be perfect. Thank you.
And also probably costs a lot less. For when it comes to the effect costs.
Way less. Heck yeah.
First off, when he wakes up, he joins a cadre of other heroes, quote unquote heroes, other soldiers, including, looking at the list, Martin Axe, who is the guy with all the eyes on his chest. He's also with KT is a swimmer.
She is definitely good-looking lady. She was in Six Underground.
And then Jimmy Dalton. He's the guy with the legs?
She was.
Yes, he's the Jimmy Dalton, because he's the typical prototype SEAL who killed Bill Nodden, which literally encapsulated every dick that you can possibly imagine. That's what that was.
Yeah, he lost his legs to a mine or an IED or something, and they refitted him with cybernetic limbs, which is a guy not in the books.
But he still runs really fast, and how does he use, like, don't you need your upper leg muscles to run really fast on the road? Because the legs will only jump you.
It's only rotors, man. It's all these rotors. It's high technology. If you can make nanobots that heals you from dust, I think they can make legs at this point.
This is a techie movie.
So what's also weird is, too, in the book, Bloodshot, once he realizes what's happening to him, and we'll get into that in a second, that he goes to the facility where he was made, and he ends up fighting, like, mutants, or, like, mutants. He doesn't fight cyborgs. He doesn't fight other soldiers. He fights, like, a cadre of just monsters, effectively, and also finds these kids who are basically proto-mutants.
They're Psyots. They're called Psyots. Yeah, Psyots and Harbingers.
I really want to know why we didn't get that storyline. Like, where did this whole... Like, basically, they said, you know what? We had this IP. He's nanobots, rebuilds himself. That's all we're going to take from this. It's like Wanted, where they had the whole thing of, like, no, he's the kid of... He's the son of an assassin, and that's it.
The Wanted, first off, I'm going to say, like I said in the thing, The Wanted would never have translated into an original caption motion. I mean, maybe Watchmen, you got that, but you would have never got the original Wanted on screen the way you want it to be. It would have not taken off. It would have probably gone culty. But on this movie, I think it's exactly what you said, Chris. I think they read the cover, they read the short sheet, the white sheet, if you will, that showed the overall story, and they just decided to go you know, let's just go completely off script and do what we want with it, which is a shame because they had, so at the time they made this movie, they had like four different iterations of this IP. So they really did have a ton of source material and it was all different. Like the source material was not the same throughout the entire comic. So you could pick what you want.
Well, yeah, because this is supposed to be based off the definitive edition, the one I have. That's one I got. So it actually says on the cover, made into a movie. So it really feels like Wanted, where they read the first comic and then that was it. The first of 12 or whatever was in it, because it goes, once it gets past that first one, it goes nowhere near it. I think we should actually change gears. We keep touching around who Bloodshot is. The first scene in the movie is an opening shot of Vin Diesel on a raid. What did you guys think of that scene? And I think this will connect us to exactly who Vin Diesel is in this movie.
He's badass. I mean, he's Vin Diesel, right? Like my aspiration over this next 2025 is to bring my Vin Diesel-ness back out, right? I'm going to do that. He's got a look. I mean, he definitely carries his look well. God bless that guy. He's got a brand. He hasn't screwed, he's not screwed that brand up. Even in movies like this, he carries a look well, but he's definitely a definitive Vin Diesel.
I agree with him. Don't be wrong. I love Vin Diesel. Like he's an action star. I actually enjoyed the opening of it because he's showing who he is. Like,
well, that opening scene I had read the comic like 2 days beforehand and I watched that first scene and my first thought was, is this a Michael Bay movie? Because it's really shot like that. Like it's also over the top patriotic. He gets back from his mission and they're basically like all high fiving and boys, this is what we're fighting for. And his girl sitting on the car waiting for him.
I watched Gladiator the other day and I say the same thing. It's a strength and honor, Maximus.
It felt like a Michael Bay movie. And there's actually an extended version of that scene where it's even cheesier.
When he kisses his girlfriend, that looks like XXX. Do you ever notice the similarities between that and XXX, the Return?
I didn't think about that.
So if you look at the way he hits his girl when he's done and he comes at his girl, literally you could have took that scene and replaced it with that scene. It would have been the exact same scene.
What I thought was interesting was you don't see her face in most of that scene. Like her head is like tucked into his shoulder and you don't see it. And I actually thought, having had just read the comic, that we're never going to see her face because that way it's always, because in the book, it's a different wife every mission. It's a different backstory every mission. Now for this, all they did was change who the bad guy was. And that's who his target is. But in the book, every mission, he has a different backstory, different wife, different family. Yep. So I thought that's what they were going to go with, was that they're going to show these shots and never show her face. That way there's no, we as the audience are confused, but no, of course they didn't go that way. They went the simpler route and just showed her.
Right.
So how'd you guys feel about Guy Pearce?
I've been a fan of Guy for a while. He's a fantastic actor. He's really good at playing them villain characters, like them badass characters. And when I was watching him in this movie, I was like, I hate you, but I love you as an actor. I think he was a really good villain, honestly. I think he was like the best part of the movie because he was like that mad scientist that wants power, that wants control. But I think they could have used him a bit more to make it more intimidating because I feel like they kind of made him weak a bit at times. But I love Guy Pearce. That dude's awesome.
So I agree with you. And here's, I'll even go one step further. Time Machine with Guy Pearce in it is one of the best underrated movies you could ever watch. It's cheesy as shit in some areas, but it's a great representation of who this actor is. I actually thought he was a bit flat in this movie. I thought there were parts where he were very cool. Like you could start to see some potential breakout, but then they just brought him back down. Like he didn't step into what I know he wanted to do. Because like when he played Aldrich Killian in the, when he played the Mandarin, like, he truly got into that role. Ooh, like, he was a bad guy. Yes. He was glowing. He was all. And honestly, this kind of felt the exact same way in that regard, because I was watching that before we started this thing. And so I could see that. But I just think he's a little flat in this role. I think maybe surrounding with the nerds and just talking about the kind of the low voice. And he's got this super powerful arm that he doesn't really use except to punch a table.
And to turn off KT's breathing apparatus. Now, for me, Guy Pearce, I like to look at two movies. I like to look at Prometheus, where he's, was it Wayland?
Wayland, yeah.
Oh, shoot. I forgot about that movie. Oh, man. I'm sorry. Well, man,
I'm not the only one smoking tonight. So somebody else is enjoying a little smoke tonight, too, which is cool with me.
Mainly not because of his role in that movie, because he's not in that movie much, but the promo stuff they did where he does a TED Talk. If you haven't seen it before, go look up Wayland TED Talk. It's amazing. He does a fantastic job. It's all promo stuff for the Prometheus movie. And that's what I think of him as when it comes to a nerdy scientist.
Chris, did you get that from the Steelbook? Was that the – do you have that from the Steelbook?
Oh, it was out on YouTube well before the movie came out. It was all promo stuff. It was like one of the trailers.
Check that out then. Okay, I got to check that out.
But okay. I do have the Steel – I don't have the Steelbook of Prometheus. I've got the it's like an art book. You open it up, it's got all the art from the movie, and then in the back, it's got the DVDs.
By the way, did you see Alien? I mean, that last one was phenomenal. Oh, Romulus, bro. It's the best movie. It sort of like you could have just insert that between Aliens 2 and Aliens 1 and just be good to go. Would just make that, it would be a perfect trilogy to watch.
I have not seen Romulus yet.
You haven't seen it?
Oh my God.
Dude, you need to see it. Oh my God.
Take a breather. We can get back to this movie in 2 minutes because it's only a 2 minute plot, but. Go see Alien. That's Alien Romulus will take longer than 2 minutes to process through this. Like four movies in that movie.
But back to Guy Pearce. The other movie is Memento.
I've not seen
where
that.
He plays a character. You guys just go home.
Is this going to be like one of those movies that we just need, you know, one of those like.
You need to go watch. So I'm not going to ruin it, but essentially Memento is a story of a guy whose memory is wiped every day. He's trying to figure out who killed his wife. And every time he learns something new, he puts a tattoo on his body. So every day he wakes up, reads all the tattoos on his body, and goes about solving the mystery. And the movie is played in reverse. So really? As you go in the movie, you're getting closer and closer to day one. It's fantastic. and the option is
sorry.
On the DVD, you can play the movie in the right order if you wanted to. But why it's important is because just like Vin Diesel's character, whose memory is wiped after every single mission. Guy Pearce's memory is wiped every single morning. And at the same time, they're both on a revenge story. He's trying to figure out who killed his wife. The same thing Vin Diesel is doing.
I'm going to look this up, my man.
It's a far better movie.
It sounds better than this 2 minute
you guys
plot
keep slaughtering. You guys keep slaughtering this movie. This is still a good technological movie. Can't let you slaughter it that bad.
One of my favorite characters, and I think only one of the few redeeming factors of the movie, was Wiggins. The tech guy at the very end of the movie.
Yes.
Wiggins was hilarious. Oh,
Wiggins
God.
Overplayed the shit out of this movie. So that's what we thought. And by the way, he's in Game Night. So just so you know, Wiggins is one of the guys in Game Night. So
of course he is.
That movie with Jason Bateman, that funny movie. He's one of the guys in that movie. He plays the husband of the... So we know he's not British, but he does pull off a good British accent. I'm not going to lie. He does... I don't know if he's British in real life, maybe not, but he's got...
He's not British. No, he's from Chicago.
We keep hitting at some of these scenes. We talked about the opening sequence. The one scene I want to bring up is the first torture scene. When the guy comes in wearing the socks and the sandals. Number one, that's how you know he's the villain.
That was a dead giveaway.
So. I got to say, though, I saw that scene. We're like, 10 minutes in the movie at this point, and I'm like, okay, I may not like where this movie has been going so far, but this is kind of a fun, redeeming thing. This is going to be an over-the-top, silly movie. I can live with that. That's what I was thinking at that time. How do you guys feel about that torture scene?
This is when Ray was tied up, and they played the music, right?
Yes, they had that music on. He was dancing around and threatening to kill his wife, and he's like, I like you! You're already gone!
When I was watching that scene in theaters, and I was like, what the hell is this dude doing? I'm like, first, you know he's a villain because, like you said, socks and sandals. That's a dead giver, right? I was like, but did y'all have to zoom out his face when he does, like, when he's turning up the radio, those facial expressions? I was like, did they do that on purpose just to make us laugh?
To make it seem so over the top.
Yeah, I was like, it's so corny, but it's actually a good, funny corny. I was like, okay, this guy is a good actor because he is cracking me up right now. But I think that was actually a really, really funny scene. Especially 10 minutes into the movie. And I was like, okay, this is about to go really either stupid or I don't know where the heck this is going to go. That's literally my thought process when I saw it.
And this was right after the whole Michael Bay scene.
Yeah. I was like, it still felt Michael Bay because how flashy it was too. Because you know how Michael Bay has that flashy touch in his movies?
Yes.
Like all the lens flare in the world?
I was like, oh, Lord. I'm like, so many ways they can go with this scene. Either stupid, this actually be... a scene that makes sense for the rest of the movie.
Or when he kills his wife with that cattle prod.
Yes, the thing that bangs her head. She doesn't like, it sort of felt like that Mission Impossible 3 type scenario. But in that one, at least in that one, you kind of felt like the guy was painting for his wife. And this one, he just looked, He was doing his very best to look angry, but it just wasn't pulling off correctly.
What was the joke? Do you remember the joke he said?
I don't.
Can she handle 6 inches?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just watched the movie again. I forgot the freaking line.
Well, I told you a lot about this movie. It is very forgettable.
But you're always going to remember the Oculus eyes and the way they just go on everywhere and give you a 360 view. That's dope as shit.
Yeah, that's very dope. Yeah, that's true.
I definitely had a good laugh at that scene, though. What are the scenes stood out to you guys?
The motorcycle scene was probably the coolest scene ever. Like when he pulled those things off and went up in there, that was one of the coolest scenes ever, right? That was a dope scene when he first attacked the convoy. Before he knew it was all a joke, because obviously they only gave us one time where he executed a mission. So that was a cool scene, like when he went through that whole thing and the jaw
the
was
tunnel?
Hanging off. The jaw was hanging off and it was coming back on. Cool. That was cool. Yeah. I think the ending got kind of stupid. Like the ending, and KT was cool, like when she was in the water, because she is hot. So that was, and then you could just see her breathe. They zoomed in on her breathing thing and she's just, there were a couple cool scenes. But again, all in all, great use of CGI, bad use of just putting it all together.
So I like the scene when I was like, fighting on an elevator thing
at the very end. They're falling. It's the outdoor elevator, and the three of them are fighting.
That one. I like that scene. I'm like, the CGI kind of got a bit messy at some points. Like they could have cleaned it up a little bit more.
It did get messy.
Well, I like that scene because I'm an action nerd. I'm a horror nerd. So any action like that, I like it.
For some reason, it had a Tom Cruise feel to it. That action scene on the elevator. I don't know why, but it felt like something out of like a Mission Impossible movie.
See, Dalton didn't feel believable. Like his character, and then he, like, first it's his legs, then it's, I guess it was his skeleton, because it wasn't just the IED that took his legs. It was his, because he's wearing a skeletal implant. He's got a whole spine implant where the arms, which had nothing to do with his legs, are in there. So like that's what irritated me about incorrect use of that character. Like, again, I get the two bad guys, but the other guy, his whole theme was eyes.
I think he missed it. So the leg guy, yeah, he had that spine. But that was to be the power of the legs, because you know that's a lot of weight to control. And he had attachments. Like he was modular. He could attach things to himself through that spine attachment. The one thing I did want to bring up was the second assassination where he's going in after that guy and they had the EMP device.
Yes.
In the book, that's a person. They had a person that could do that. Show off machines. So when they brought up the EMP machine, it's like, oh, they're definitely not going the way of mutants. Because that was the thing, was in the book, it was a girl on a leash that they were dragging around, and it would point at people, and she'd blast out an EMP wave, which I thought was far more fascinating than
a
device on a desk.
She was one of the harbingers in the SATs.
So I did like that motorcycle scene. I forgot who was riding that motorcycle. Their skill was fantastic. Whoever the stunt person was, not the actual actor, but the stunt person, you know, going up on reverse wheelies and going down alleyways, just a lot of skill.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at my notes right now, and there's a scene where Vin Diesel has just learned he's this superhero, and he's like punching stuff and training, lifting weights. And my only thought I wrote down while watching the movie was when he was punching that column and he put like a hole in it, was like, I'm like, I hope that's not load bearing, because he's about to take down the whole building.
He didn't just put a load in it. He actually knocked that thing off its axis. Like he took that thing off his axis. Like that was the only thing. I mean, there were 100-pound weights he could have been picking up on his arm, but he felt the need to completely hit the load-bearing wall. And you're right, because that is a very tall building to come flying down for one wall.
The structural damage alone is to me millions of dollars in repair.
That just shows that we're old. Kevin, we're old. These are the things we think about. There's this idea that says, you know, as a child, you fantasize about staying up all night, and then you realize, and then your parents put you to bed at 9, and then you get old enough to realize 9 is your appropriate time to go to bed.
So, pacing, this movie comes in at 109 minutes.
That was dumb. Sorry.
That was dumb.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. So, how do you feel about the length of the movie, Kevin?
Honestly, I felt they didn't really utilize that time. I feel like they just rushed it. I think they just, like you said, they just read like a cover or something and just smashed it into the movie. I feel like I could have enjoyed it if they paced it a little bit better. And actually added more comic accuracy to it. And also, it could have been a bit longer, because Bloodshot is a complex story at times. Because I feel like they just rushed it just to get the movie done and get it out. And that's literally how I felt after watching the movie. And it just felt like very way too fast. Like they got to, I'm like, I know you want to get to the point, but storytelling wise, you need to pace it to allow people to digest and understand where the story is going, if that makes sense.
Yes. I felt that from the very first moment, from like that first mission. So they, and here's what made it actually worse. And this, I will agree with you, because again, I think there's a ton of negative about this film, but there is some positive as well. But that, you know, the moment you get like this, it's like they slowed the first scene down. And they, you mentioned it, Chris, they gave you 10, 15 minutes of just slowly bringing this guy into play, who he was, and boom, he's a nanite. Okay, but now we're just absorbing that. He punches a wall in one night. The next day, he's accessing global satellites, positioning with his brain. We don't even understand how all that's coming together. And he's tracking people, shutting communication, and it's all these nanites. I didn't know the nanites, you know, had their own separate computers that they could access Wi-Fi. I didn't know he was Wi-Fi capable.
Oh, it's Bluetooth. It's all Bluetooth. But that's not even from the books. In the books, he couldn't do that. He didn't have the ability to connect to the internet. So I think you guys are sort of touching on a really good thing. So 109 minutes. I'm torn because, one, the pacing on this movie is terrible. It just goes from scene to scene to scene. It falls in that trap of, like, this happens, then this happens, then this happens, and this happens, versus therefore this, therefore that. It just, like, someone said, I want an action scene here. We'll have an action scene there. We want to do this. We want to do that. So it jams way too much into it. The issue I'm having with it is I really don't want more. Like, I would want more if we had a different director, a different writer, and a different set of actors. I don't want more of this movie, but the story needed more to work, if that makes sense.
You just have to care about the characters.
I don't think you could fix this movie with 20 extra minutes. I don't think it's possible. I think it's possible to write that story and make a better movie, which we'll get to about remakes and stuff. But I don't think it was possible to make this version of the story better with more time. Nor could you make it better with less time, because they covered so much ground. And I think it's really suffers from the Wanted problem and the origin story problem all thrown together. You have an origin story, which means you want to, the desire to cover so much groundwork to make you want to like this character. And then it suffers from the problem that did not actually use the source material more than just a couple pages of it. So yeah. I want more and I want less. I'm really torn about that.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. We don't want you to be torn, Chris.
Yeah, I'm torn over so many things in this world. So this movie, now what's funny about this too is, Kevin, I think this is probably our most recent movie we've ever covered. I might be wrong on that, but I really think it is. 2020 is pretty recent for us. So this movie's got a lot of CGI. We don't even talk about, does the CGI hold up over the past 20 years, over the past 15 years? This is only 4 years old. How do you feel about the CGI as a whole? Do you think they did a good job?
Yes, that's not even questioning that. Like, I just think the nanites were phenomenal, the way they processed, the way they showed technology being used, I just think they didn't give you enough time to digest the individual powers of the characters. They didn't give you, I even think, like, they gave you one great scene for Deadshot. Like, I think it was that tunnel scene. It was really the only good slowed down scene that you could see what he could do as Deadshot. But, you know, and then the bike scene is the only really good scene that you can see where those prosthetics are. But other than that, it was just, you know, you got a girl who's smoking and she can't, you know, inhale stuff, and just, it's just super fast. Then you got somehow this guy's got, you know, boxing hands with big poker sticking out of the middle of them. And he's like, that's my idea. And I'm like, what idea is that? Spikes in the middle of your hand? Because that's not an original idea, my man.
No, that was his idea for the video of his history. It was his idea to use the cattle prod to kill his wife. That's what he was saying.
Which is
why he has those things attached to his arms.
Oh, so it's the cattle. Okay, so I just missed the cattle prod. They didn't show enough attention to the cattle prod. I didn't know it was cattle prod. That looked like daggers to me.
Yeah, I missed that part too until I watched it again. So you're not alone.
I'm not alone. Chris, you hear that? I'm not alone.
I don't even know where to go from there. No, so I
think the CGI was good for the most part. It was just the elevator scene that it felt a little bit messy, but overall it was pretty good. Yeah.
It's because they spent all that money on the bike scene. And the first thing, they were like, okay, we just got to throw some shit together. Yeah. It's only going to need a few more minutes of stuff.
And the CGI, generally speaking, it holds up. The director, I forgot what his name was already, had directed computer game trailers before this. That's what his career was.
That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Very familiar with CGI.
I could tell.
Yeah, it looks like a video game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And there's a couple of things that I had issues with. And I want to get your guys' opinion on it. First off, this is an origin story. How do you think it did as an origin story?
Okay, so I'll take away the comic aspect because that's completely different for me. As an origin story of a movie, we have no emotion. Like, I'm almost having a struggle. If I were just coming in off the street as a normal person, which I'm not, but if I was, I would probably come out of this not knowing what the hell I just saw. Where did he come from? I know he got superpowers. How did that happen? How did Wiggins fix the recharging? He's like, I did that. I fixed that. And I'm just still trying to figure out, like, how did that even happen? Because that was so central to controlling Deadshot. I had no idea how any of that kind of came together. And then he blew up. His nana's depleted, and he, like, purposely set off a bomb in front of him, and then all of a sudden he's on a bed. So he had to have come back from nothing with no juice in those nanites.
Because Wiggins is a computer god.
Yeah, I guess so. And he looks good in a blue suit.
That last suit was pretty good, though.
That was pretty cool. When I first watched it, I didn't know any of the comics, so I was just a movie viewer. When I first watched it, I was confused as hell. I'm not gonna lie. I was confused as all get out, and I was like, okay, what the hell just happened? Especially with when he legit blew up at the end, and like his whole body is gone. So how the hell did Wiggins bring the guy? Like, I was like, okay, what the hell? What? I'm confused. Like, he literally blew up, so his body should have been splatted everywhere. So I'm just like, I was confused as all get out.
They kind of hinted at how that works, and yet again, this is, I think, really bad screenplay writing. That, remember how he gave him some of his nanobots? Remember, there's a scene where he gives him a bunch of nanobots to test and learn about?
Through the chest. That was supposed to be messy like the comic, but it wasn't. So
the reason why that's important is because if any of the nanobots survive, he can rebuild Bloodshot. So that was his backup plan at all times. So Bloodshot could get obliterated as long as one of those bots survives, Bloodshot survived. And they're all sitting in a mason jar in the guy's bathroom.
Is that how they pulled that back? You just literally connected more dots than 109 minutes, Chris. And that is absolutely phenomenal. Literally, you just connected. So for all of our viewers, we were a lot less wondering what just happened. And Chris just seriously connected those dots for us.
You should have watched this movie. Shoot.
I mean, I'm just like, I completely missed the fact that he gave the blood to him because it was that unmemorable.
One of my many jobs, Kevin, is I do development editing for books and such, which means I look at books and stories and say, here are the issues you have. Here are the problems you have. You need to solve these problems because these things jump to one another. So seeing these things for me is like, it's pretty easy to see, but I can see what they were thinking, but there are probably some key lines they dropped out of it for the sake of time. They're probably not to do a big exposition dump, and they're probably like, well, the audience will figure it out, but no, sometimes the audience won't figure it out.
Got it.
One of the things I did actually go back and watch the interviews with the actors during the the junkets where they're going out trying to promote this movie. And one of the things they kept saying over and over and over again, all the actors, was this is going to be unlike any superhero movie you've ever seen. So my question for you is this like any superhero that you've never seen? Like, is it that unique?
No.
No, not at all. No.
The Guyver was unique. Like the Guyver was unique. Like, if I saw the Guyver, I'd be like, that is some fun. Even now, to this day, I mean, just take everything else and just leave it Jimmy Walker. That's, the Guyver was unique. This, nah.
Cemetery Man was unique.
Oh, come on. We can't revisit that horror.
When I watched this, I had the same feeling as I had for Batman versus Superman. I always just felt dull and just depressed.
So you were one of those, I'm taking Kevin that you were one of those guys that stood in line just like I did to see the trailer, coming out of that trailer and being like, I'm so excited for this movie. This movie's going to set the standard for Batman and Superman. It's going to be all Frank Miller. It's going to be all just amazing, taking all those elements and then coming out and being like, somebody get me a drink. Somebody get me a drink, and can I get access to a therapist?
When I tell you, I was like, I wasted my life watching this movie. And I'm like, how can I get that back? Go watch another movie because you know that's good. I got to the point where I don't watch trailers anymore because I don't want to get excited. I still do it because I'm too curious because I'm like, I'm a nerd, so I'm still going to watch it. So I'm like, I kind of contradict myself.
That's what nerds do.
I was like, screw it, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to try not to be excited. I'm going to be optimistic, but I'm not going to be excited.
Optimistic.
Yeah.
We have a sense of optimism towards a potentially good movie.
Yeah, so I don't get excited anymore, but I'll get optimistic and curious about it. I'll say, okay, I'll see if I wait till you come to streaming or if I go with a friend to watch it.
I have two things to that. One, I think they need to start an Oscar category for people who make the trailers, because that in itself is Oscar-worthy, because they often lie to you.
Yes.
The first Suicide Squad, case in point. Like, it looked really exciting. God. Terrible movie. The second thing is, I did not see Batman versus Superman in the theaters, which is surprising because I love Batman. Well, I saw the original, I saw the ultimate cut of it on DVD. Ooh. I bought the special edition, saw the ultimate cut of it. And I was like, why do people complain? This is actually a really good movie. Now, mind you, it's like 3 hours long. Now then I went back and watched the original cut. And I understood what you saw in the theaters was not what you should have seen, because the ultimate cut is far much better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, that is not this movie.
Again, remember, we only need 2 minutes to discuss this movie. So it allows us, this is the first podcast we've done where we could jump to 12 different movies and still get back on point with this movie, because that's how short the plot is.
One thing I do want to talk about is there was an alternate ending to this movie. The original ending, so for listeners who have, our listeners who have only watched the trailer and have not seen, which I agree, you should only watch the trailer and have not seen the end of this movie. The end of the movie is Vin Diesel catches up to the villain, Guy Pearce, and he's chasing him down. And Guy Pearce shoots a grenade into his chest and it blows up, turning Vin Diesel into a gray cloud, right? Which is, by the way, the first time we see, when he reconstructs back into Bloodshot, it is the first time we see Vin Diesel as, Bloodshot being gray, which he is in the comic books. Yep. He's gray because the Nanobots don't care about what color your skin is. They just turn you gray.
Also, Bloodshot had hair too, so that was not accurate in the movie.
it's completely threw this character out. But Guy Pearce shoots a second grenade. He catches it. He then basically hugs Guy Pearce and kills Guy Pearce with a explosive hug. There's a lot of hugging going on in this movie.
That alternate ending that you just described.
No, that was not the alternate ending. That's the original. That's the original ending.
So what's the alternate ending? Okay,
you got to get into. Yeah, man, you're like the guy who flips the last page of the book. Anyway, the alternate ending. The alternate ending is he chases down the cybernetic arm dude into a pool, and he's fighting him in the pool. But the nanobots are coming off of Vin Diesel. Like every time he's punched, he like bleeds out. The nanobots fall into the water, and they swarm together to deconstruct the cybernetic guy.
Really? Whoa. And they give him all the material back over to this.
Well, okay, he deconstructs the cybernetic guy, and then he falls in the deep end of the pool, and because he's all metal, he can't swim, so he drowns to death. And then Vin Diesel leaves. Basically leaving the Guy Pearce character still out in the greater world.
Well, that would have been if there would have been a Bloodshot 2, but Bloodshot 1 and Bloodshot 2 could be made in like 35 minutes.
Well, we'll get to Bloodshot 2 in a second. This movie, like we like to do, what did you actually like about this movie, and what could they have done better to make this movie work?
I liked that it ended.
Oh my god, that was so easy.
But seriously,
that was the T-ball strike right there. Like, this one's easy. I'm gonna set you up.
Yeah. Not gonna lie, I love the action. That's one of the good things about it. I love the action. What they could have done better is the pacing, like you said earlier, the pacing and the storytelling. They could have done a lot better. They should have revised the script a bit more to make it more make sense. Because, like I said, I was when I first watched it, I wasn't familiar with the comic, so I'm just a moviegoer seeing it from a movie perspective. I was confused. I feel like they should have delayed that movie and to go revamp it before they put it out. And I feel like they shouldn't have rushed it. Like, they should have took their time with it, and they also could have cleaned up the CGI at the end. Well, on the elevator scene.
Agreed. I think
all the money they spent on Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
When did this come out in 2020? What month? I'm just looking. I'll say it says March 13th. This was literally just before the pandemic. Like, literally days, or actually a day before the pandemic started. So yeah. I think that. Before everything got shut down. So I'm just wondering if this was a byproduct of a pandemic-made movie. But this is just bad making of a movie. But I just think.
I think it was made, 2 years before the pandemic?
Yeah, this is peak cinema. There are like no restrictions. This was the pre-COVID world. There are no excuses.
This is the endgame world when it was really in the endgame. But no, the movie did really great with technology. Like, there was, I will tell you, coming out of this and looking at how they implemented the technological pieces of this, I thought, like, boy, I could believe that actually happens in real life. Like, that could happen today. Like, you can go in and get material like that today. It wasn't so out of whack. And again, they added just enough fantastical elements, like when he's coming back together, that, you know, while it could be available, it still pushes the boundaries of what you can do. But everything else, like, just, you know, and Vin Diesel's Vin Diesel. Like, I mean, it's not like he was horrible, but he was used so quickly. It was just an in and out. It was a hello and a goodbye. It was like the first time when you're 15 having your way with a young lady and realizing that only took about a minute and a half.
I don't even blame Vin Diesel. Like, he's an awesome actor. I just blame the screenwriter. Like, somebody should have came to the screenwriter and said, hey, this is okay, but we need to make it
relevant.
Yeah,
more than fifth grade education.
Basically, yeah. To put it in a nice way like that. I'm like, we see your idea, but we need to flesh it out some more so the moviegoers, especially the ones that's not comic, knowing of the comic, can understand what we're trying to do with this movie.
Agreed.
I have to disagree a little bit on the Vin Diesel. I don't think he's the right guy for this role. I felt a little nuance. Vin Diesel, I've got no problem with. He plays Vin Diesel very well. It's like he knows him pretty well. It's a character. I think, okay, what does well? I think the action scenes look pretty good. No, it's an action movie, so they had to. I think the CGI, solid. It's not like amazing, but it's also not bad. Like, there's, except for the elevator scene. There was some issue there.
Yeah.
What they could have done better. I think it really comes down to the screenwriting on it. I think they also tried, there's too much plot to do what they were trying to do. Like, you'd have to have a 2 to 3 hour movie to pull that off. I think they need to narrow the scope down a little bit. And also, if they just started with, like, the book starts with his first mission as Bloodshot, and we flash back to all the other stuff. It's easier to see that because you don't have to have this 10-minute long Michael Bay scene in the beginning. That saves you 10 minutes right there. And you could just flash back to it, which leaves it as a mystery throughout the story of what's real, what's not real, versus we know none of it's real, right? We know 15 minutes in this movie, none of it's real. It's better if we like play with it throughout the movie, feels a little better, make it more of like a character piece around with action driving the plot. I think that would have helped out quite a bit for this movie. But also Vin Diesel, there's a scene, now the reason I say Vin Diesel's not the right guy, there's a scene where he's being told about these nanobots by the doctor for the first time. And he's got his hands like together like a pyramid. He's like staring them down. And I'm watching him, like he is just literally paying Vin Diesel from the Fast and Furious movies. And he's not even like, if he had like channeled the Riddick Vin Diesel, I think it would have been better.
Ooh, I didn't think about that either. That would have worked a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely. I thought his body type in this movie and the way he carried himself.
Or Triple X is what he was in this movie.
Was much more Triple X. Like, it was much more Xander Cage Returns. That was what it felt like. He was really trying to pull that. Or like later editions of Fast and Furious. Like when he was in Cuba. Like when he was walking in Cuba with the girl and he was like, when you make a deal, you go to own it. You know, that whole thing. So you one of those guys.
Oh, you're talking about Fate of the Furious.
Yes. I thought he was carrying like that kind of same vibe. And it's interesting because his later movies, he kind of carries that vibe. But yeah, that would have been, that Riddick was, that was when I think he showed more range as an actor, by the way. Let me be upfront.
He was also smaller.
Smaller doesn't mean you show more range. Look at Tom Cruise. This guy continues to defy gravity.
I think it lends to a very important question. What is your favorite Vin Diesel movie?
Well, it's not Bloodshot, but I do think any Vin Diesel movie will work. And oftentimes it's really just a great character because it's Vin Diesel. But okay, so you guys want my favorite Vin Diesel movie? I'm going to give it to the audience. That's the question. Let's bring the answer. Boiler Room.
That was mine.
Ooh,
right there.
Yes.
I was on the same page, man.
I'm going to lay it out. And it's only because Chris and I come from the world of finance. So we feel like if you're in finance, you're watching like, what is it? Gungurigan Ross, Boiler Room. There are certain movies that you're watching because they just push the ethical boundaries. You're like, what the?
Well, I have two favorites. It's technically three because, you know, I love Fast and Furious. But Riddick and his comedy movie, Pacifier. The Pacifier.
Oh, nice play.
Now I'm thinking of the kangaroo song. Isn't that the song? Thank you. Thank you for that, Kevin. That'll stick around for a while. I appreciate you adding that to my Brad Pan.
When I saw the Pacifier, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Because that's not the manager I'm used to. but I loved it. It was so freaking funny, but he still had the action. He almost had a Mission Impossible, but as a dad type of action, the Pacifier. Because
he was still like a special agent, but he was definitely he was trying to pull off a kindergarten cop.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he was attempting, which is quite frankly a hell of a thing to do. And I think he was helped greatly by the inept ninjas.
Well, yeah, Riddick, Pacifier, Fast and Furious.
Riddick is dope. You know they've got the third Pitch Black 3 coming out, by the way, guys.
It's the fourth.
Yeah, Pitch Black. You have the Chronicles of Riddick.
And Riddick.
Riddick. This is the fourth one. Okay.
Yeah, so now you got Riddick 4. Yeah, the fourth one is called Riddick Furia, because he's going back home now.
This is going back home.
But yeah, the third one came out in 2013, so it's been a while.
This movie was meant to be the beginning of the Valorant cinematic universe. It was supposed to be the cornerstone, Valiant, sorry, to start that whole thing.
That's why I thought you said horror, just so you know. That's why I thought, literally, I was like, are we talking about horrors again? Are we bringing horrors back into our conversation? My offense if I offended any horrors in this nice episode.
Now, question for you. You may or may not know the fact behind this, but I'm curious. Knowing that that was supposed to be the cornerstone and it never happened, what do you think was the reason it didn't happen?
Oh, because just like the Zack Snyder universe, if you have a vision and you're thinking about that vision and you've got this idea and then it just doesn't come off the first movie in, it'll kill the entire IP. And then you just put that thing back on the shelf and right now is not the time for, I mean, they can't remake it. It's just not the time, right? There's a bounce back between DC and Marvel. We still are looking for movies, but what we're not looking for is that. You know, the movie trailer most anticipated is Electric State. Let me just put it out there. That's the most anticipated. Just Google that. That is the most anticipated
I'm so excited.
Electric State, which tells you everything you need to know about the state of our movies today.
So, yeah, that movie does look pretty good, Electric State. So this was supposed to be the first one of that series. The reason it didn't go bad was it had a bad box office. The next movies were like about the Harbinger Wars, and Harbinger was supposed to be the next series of movies.
The Hardcorps, the Harbingers, yep.
The reason it didn't do well was not necessarily because of the bad box office, but before the movie's release, Paramount sold off the rights to the rest of the universe before the movie even came out. So the guys, when they're making this movie, thought that this was going to be the new thing. And they sold off all the rights. I think to Sony. I could be wrong on that.
Sony doesn't know how to make a good movie either.
That was stupid. Why'd they give it to Sony? Sony screwed up Spider-Man characters.
It's all about the money. What the world? They sold that off, but they kept the rights to Bloodshot. And then, of course, then it did bad in the box office. And it's like, you're right. They can't reboot it now. Number one, they don't have all the rights anymore. And number two, it's way too soon. But that's the next question. Should they remake this movie, or when should they remake it? Or should they pursue a sequel, or at least do a spinoff of it?
Not for a minute. I mean, Marvel is about to have a whole new day in the sun. DC is, you know, they just dropped the ball. It would get lost in white noise. It would not even be seen. Even if they put the effort into it, and they somehow elevate our podcast to godlike status and allow us to have our input in this film, they would still never break through the white noise on this. Because again, exactly why I said Electric State is the one people are talking about, not the Superman trailer, which is really interesting to me. Because we're not talking about Brave New World, and we're not really talking about the Superman trailer that much.
Well, the Superman trailer just dropped today, so give it some time. Give it about a week. All the YouTube videos come out.
But think about it. When Marvel dropped the Captain America trailer, within 24 hours, everybody was talking about it. But the Superman just dropped. You barely see comments. But
it dropped at like less than 12 hours ago.
But still, if Valiant tried to reboot right now, they would get lost very easily because everybody's only talking about DC, Marvel, Electric Estate. And so it would get lost very quickly.
I think you're right. And I think one of the other issues is that those characters from that universe, Fergal, you might know them. Kevin, you might know them. But the general audience doesn't know them. Like, everybody knows Spider-Man. I'm getting to know them.
Man of War. There's the Hardcore. You know, there's a lot that goes on into the whole series. And if they were to do something while tying it to the comic, not necessarily, I don't know if they'd even have to promote that. I don't think they even have to promote that. I think they should do something on Project Rising Spirit. I think the idea of going away from Project Rebirth to Project Rising Spirit, I think you could make that movie. I think you could make a movie showing the different iterations of Bloodsports and just not focusing on those as the main character, but focusing on the program that originated in 1945. You could build that movie.
I was trying to say there, I think they should really go with the Atomic Blonde formula, where people don't even know it's a comic. They just lean into the movie, the genre. Wait, in this case, you make it sci-fi. Well, Atomic Blonde.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a comic book. Yeah, it's called The Coldest City. It's a fantastic book.
Okay.
Yeah, during all the promotion, nobody really knew it was a comic book until, like, I think 5 minutes in the general initial crawl, it says that it's based on the comic. But most people had no idea going into it. You just thought it was a great spy thriller from the 80s. That's what you should do with this. Yeah, for this, what they should really do is go with the same thing. Build the movie. Don't really mention it's from a comic book. Maybe in the trailer somewhere. Not the trailer, but in the credits or something. But why highlight that it is? Because this world is so saturated with comic book movies. But you go like a sci-fi or even like a some sort of horror movie with all the material that they have. A actual horror movie, Fertile.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't really make comic horror. I mean, I had so much promise for Werewolf at Night. Did everybody else agree with
me? I love that. That's great.
It was a great, man. I still have a lot of promise for it, but there's a real horror component to the whole. I mean, if you go back in the 60s and 70s on these books, that was all there was. That was all there was. I mean, that's quite frankly how Swampkin got out. Was Alan Moore? It was through, what is that? I own that book for a short time. Now I'm going to forget the cover. Now I've got to look it up.
Bugs Bunny?
No, the first appearance of Swamp Thing. It's a scary comic that came on. It's like actually a first appearance of Swamp Thing. One of the most valuable books on the marketplace today.
Before we get into our reviews, I really appreciate if you are listening, go out to Apple and Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. It's a great way to support the show, help new listeners discover us, and let's not keep the show a secret. But besides reviewing our show, Fergal, what's your review for this movie?
My review is that I'm going to give this like around the drain heading downward thumb that is literally saved by Vin Diesel. Like when he picks up the Rock Grounson from the ground, he's got the shotgun in his hand. That's what saves me. So I'm going to put this review as circling the drain. And then all of a sudden you got the big ass hand that comes up and like, I will get you, my man. That's what's pulling me back up. So while this would be a complete absolute shit show, I will allow for Vin Diesel's arm to take me up and carry me through. That's my review.
One, I agree with Fergal on that one. It was when you were saying that, I was visioning in my head. It's like Jesus coming down, helping you to get out this watching this trash movie.
So it's a Jesus picking you up off the ground movie. That's yeah. More powerful than Vin Diesel's arm.
Yeah, he says, with you. God said, free my people from this movie. He said, let my son go. So I'm in the same opinion with Fergal on this one. When if you watch this, you're going to need a drink, a backup movie, or something.
Or fast forward, man, because you could
or just fast forward. Fast forward.
147 in 33 minutes. Like, you could literally get through 109 minutes. The way unless it works now with that shit.
Unless you speed fast forward like 30 seconds, you'd know the free donut entire movie right there. You don't want to waste your time, but yeah, I'm like, let's fast forward to 5 and boom, you watch the movie. There you go.
I would rate this movie 1,000,000 Dinobots thumbs down. Get all the bots in a line, all thumbs down on it. This
would
movie,
they be recreating more thumbs? Would it be thumb blown off?
They would keep replicating themselves to keep adding to the number of thumbs they can point down. It's a self-replicating thumb down is what this thing is. It's which is actually lacking from the book. The book had this whole gray goo scenario where it eats a whole town and keeps going crazy. That's what this movie needs, is a gray goo giving a thumbs down as well. Just millions upon millions of thumbs going down. So, I mean, this movie is nothing special. It's not even like a top-tier action movie but on its own. It's just, it is what it is. There are no stakes because he can't die.
What it is.
And you've seen this movie before. Like, remember I said how during the trunket they kept saying, you've never seen this movie before. It's unique. It's not. I can name 3. Universal Soldier, RoboCop, and Wolverine. They're all the same movie.
Oh, wait. You cannot put RoboCop in this. I mean, are we talking about new RoboCop or old RoboCop?
They're all better than this movie. Is a soldier who has forgotten.
I thought she was talking about the... Okay, got it. Okay.
A person who has forgotten their past, who has become a super soldier... Got who is okay. On a revenge story. They're all the same one.
Let's just be clear. RoboCop wasn't a soldier. He was the Detroit police
officer. Yes, he was. So
Let's get a little love for the D-Town.
You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. Some sort of guy. He's lost his memory. He's on a revenge story once he figures out the truth behind it all, and he can't die. That is Universal Soldier, RoboCop, and Wolverine. Those are all far better than this movie. If you like those genres, go watch those movies.
Yes, I could totally feel you. Or the Guyver. Let me just throw the Guyver in there.
Well, the Guyver's not immortal. Well, actually, he is immortal, isn't he? He doesn't die.
He practically is.
he comes out playing the Jaws theme as he cuts open your chest. There so is, that's right even
there.
Better.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Oh, man. I have a couple mailbags, but I'm going to hold on to those when we got Jeremy here as well, because between you and Jeremy, Fergal. But for those of us who want to send us a comment, send us a note, tell us how we're wrong in our review and how you actually love this movie.
We're actually never wrong, so sorry.
We're always right. No. But nonetheless, you want to go to movie-smash.com, scroll all the way to the bottom. There's a way to send a note into us, and we'll definitely read your comment on the air. But before we head on out, guys, Kevin, where can people find you? And what sort of projects do you have that you're working on?
One, you can find me on Instagram at I Am Kevin Davis Official. I have my third comic book called Skin Shifter coming out soon in 2025. If you like those alter ego type of horror stories, that's what my Skin Shifter is about, where the villain is named Sabrina Jackal, but her alter ego is a Jackal Bunny. And she was sent from hell by a Corpus Fiend to capture a soul of a girl named Amaya Fitzgerald. And the story goes, she's trying to figure out, why does he want her soul so badly? Like, who is she to him? Is she a lover, or is she a villain to him for some odd reason? She could be his daughter. Who knows? You can find me on Facebook at Kevin Davis. If you see a Beetlejuice photo, that's me.
So random, but awesome.
And we have all your links on our site as well. For our listeners, if you go to our movie-smash.com, if you go to there's a guest tab and has all our previous guests on there as well. And it has all your links on there for your next Kickstarter, and as well as your website and your Instagram handle. And Fergal, where can people find you?
They can find me on the world of Movie Smash. But if I'm not here doing amazing things on Movie Smash, they might find me on Furiosa. They might find me in the fictional land of the Dominican Republic with Vin Diesel sipping on cocktails. Or they could find me at Gotham Knight Comics or at Facebook.com. We do have an IG handle, Get Your Nerd On. And if you're lucky enough, you might actually find me in person. Come to Detroit. I know you'll see us win the Super Bowl. What? I'm just going to leave it there. Mic drop.
And for me, I'm always over our off-panel creations. We're always there billing some piece of nerdy furniture. If you want to thank you, our listeners, for spending some time with us today. If you have any thoughts about Bloodsport or whether or not Fergal sounds like Vin Diesel, he does not. Send us a note over at movie-smash.com, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. This has been Movie Smash with Chris Roberts, Jeremy Parmentier, and Fergal Amayo. Produced by me, Chris Roberts. Executive produced by Off Panel Creations, LLC. Movie clips provided by their respective studios. You can rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might even find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Visit us at movie-smash.com and send us a note. It too can be read on a future episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Movie Smash wherever you listen to your podcasts. Okay, you guys just go home.